Council in session last night. Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek Horatio Dobies. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's your middle name?
Joseph.
Joseph.
Yep,
Derek trouble, Joseph.
My parents call me Derek Joe.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so you can use that.
Okay.
Hey, 84 degrees sounds pretty good right about now.
Wow.
Old man winter is still rolling around. So.
Hang on for a couple months.
Yeah.
How was the meeting last night?
Short, quick meeting. Got everything done and out the door. No, it lasted to about 11 o'clock last night.
Oh,
so we had a short sprint. We had a lot of public comment. A lot of people came out to talk about different things that were on the agenda, some things that had surfaced before with some of the proposals that city administration had made to more clearly define some of the rules that we have for public comment, asking people to not use profanity and be courteous and kind in their remarks, and some other changes. Other people talked about some of the other aspects of the meeting, and the big thing coming out of last night, I think, was the city joining in the multi-district lawsuit for the opiate epidemic, and partnering with the Sam Bernstein law firm to address that and try to get some sort of relief for the opiate epidemic that we've had here in Jackson and across the state and across the country, really.
What do we hope to gain by that? Is it monetary?
Yeah, so there's two things. The problem, I'll first start by, you know, saying it's something that's probably obvious to a lot of the listeners, is we have a huge opiate epidemic here in the city and in the state, really. Michigan is 10th in the nation for the number of prescription opiates. We're 18th in the nation for a number of deaths by opiate overdoses. So we got a real problem here. And in Jackson, just in 1 year, there's been over 560,000 days worth of prescription opiates prescribed just in the city of Jackson in Part D Medicare. So that's a huge number. I think it's somewhere around $1.4 million worth of opiate prescriptions. That's enough for about 16 days worth of opiate prescriptions for every man, woman, and child in the city of Jackson. So, huge problem. You know, it's been because of the pharmaceutical industry and the manufacturers and distributors having deceptive marketing practices and very aggressive sales forces. That coupled with the addictive nature of these opiates has really complicated the problem. And we got a big problem here in Jackson. You talk to any of our first responders, and they say that it's a huge problem. They're probably, on average, doing one overdose a day in the first 6 months of them getting Narcan. They used it 27 times. That's insane. The numbers are continuing to go up. So what we're trying to do with the lawsuit is first get some sort of injunctive relief to try to stop that sort of activity and that sort of behavior out of the drug manufacturers and distributors. And secondly, yeah, try to collect some damages that we've seen in the city based on the problem that we've had here. The amount of money that we've had to spend responding to the opiate epidemic with our first responders, our police force, our firefighters, and all of the different problems that has caused within the city and the financial strain that it's caused within the city's budget as well. So there'll be a whole process of going through and trying to assess what those damages actually are. The Bernstein Law Firm, actually Mark Bernstein, was there last night and gave probably a good 20-30 minute presentation, answered a lot of questions. They're probably the best law firm in the state that's been working on this. And they represent, I think, 50 other clients on the matter too, probably about half the population of the state, from, you know, Kent County to Detroit, city of Detroit. I've also joined in these suits. So, you know, I think that's what you see Jackson trying to do, get some injunctive relief, recover some damages that have been caused by just negligent behavior by the pharmaceutical industry, the manufacturers and distributors, and really try to provide some leadership for people of the city that have been affected by this, either personally or just through, you know, the lack of city services.
Yeah, Derek, my question, I think I asked you before, but I'll do it again. I'm not very smart. The drug makers, they don't write out prescriptions.
Yeah.
They're not prescribing these drugs to anybody, right?
Yeah. So that's true. But the deceptive marketing practice is what we've been going after. So it's been no secret that these opiates have been are addictive. But when this first started about, the manufacturers had deceptive marketing practices, saying, frankly, that all the way to the level of saying that opiates weren't addictive. The distributors have had very aggressive sales operations to peddle this to doctors and encourage them to engage in you know, potentially over prescribing and getting those drugs out onto the market, and that's created a lot of problems that we see. You know, they've it's my understanding that they've already admitted to in court to that sort of fraud. So, you know, I think that the residents of the city of Jackson and probably the county of Jackson deserve that sort of action out of their elected officials, deserve some sort of injunctive relief, and deserve to recover some of the damages to recoup some of the cost of it, so that potentially we can use some of that money and put it back into the type of recovery services that we need to help put people's lives back together and help make sure that this epidemic doesn't grow and that we do what we can to shrink it.
Wouldn't all that money would go back in, right?
It actually would go back into the general fund. You know, whatever sort of damages were awarded by whatever sort of model that they work out to account for that would go back into the city's general fund and would be up to council of how they wanted to allocate those resources, either back to the fire department, back to the police department, or out to some sort of other service agency that operates within the addiction and recovery space.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very important, and we also kind of on a similar matter, we did pass a resolution asking the state of Michigan to take a look at Michigan's drug industry immunity law. Michigan is the only state in the country that prohibits people from suing drug manufacturers when their products harm or kill people. So it's something that was passed, I think, back in 1995 by our own Attorney General, Bill Schuette. I think that's, you know, unfair. I certainly think it's worth review and worth consideration and worth just scrapping, because it's really, I think, precipitated a lot of the problems that we face, and that's why I think in that sort of environment where people don't have access to those sorts of legal means to bring cases for this sort of activity in our city, that it's incumbent on our city to actually step up and represent the people that we serve and take action.
So on the public comment issue last night, did you guys pass that?
We didn't know. There was a lot of public comment on it. When it came up as an agenda item. I actually started, I had a number of different edits to it. I don't have any problem with people turning in public comment cards before or after the start of business, so long as it's before the end of public comment. Had a number of other language changes I'd like to see. Councilman Pappin had a few other changes, and what we ended up doing was postponing it to the first meeting in May so that we could have time for all of the council members to send any sort of feedback, suggested edits that they had to the city attorney's office, so she could pull all that stuff together and put a new document back out to the city council at that date.
So you will bring that back?
Yeah, it'll probably be coming up back up in May. It's nothing far too drastic from the rules in which we already operate. In fact, Jeremy Alexander read the rules that we currently have that says that you may not swear. So the proposed rules are just merely suggesting that people not use profanity, because I'm not sure that we can technically prohibit people from swearing. So despite, you know, young kids and others either attending the meetings or watching them from home. So, we have some more work to do on that, and that'll come up at a later date.
How about item A and B?
Well, there wasn't any item A and B. Last night's council meeting, we did go in an executive session to talk about a property matter that we have downtown, nothing out of the ordinary. We did talk about some other things. We had a good discussion about kind of the retooling the direction of the DDA. Patrick Birch is going to be going on to the DDA, and I think that's important so that the DDA can kind of step up into the role of a lot of the things that DDA should be doing, and a lot of the things that the city council has been doing in that sort of absence with some of the buildings that we've been working on redeveloping downtown, putting together some spaces for incubators to create a culture of entrepreneurship in the city. Some of those things that the city council is doing that are on Patrick's plate, I think really can be offloaded onto the DDA. We can empower the DDA to make some of those decisions, take on some of those policies, programs, and projects, and really allow the city manager the ability to take some of the progress that he's been working on downtown and bring it out into the neighborhoods and into the surrounding areas and out to the east side, over to Loomis Park, down onto the south side, working on the King Center. I think there's a lot of different things that we need to get done, you know, just on a citywide level. The fact that we have 36% of the city living under the federal poverty level, we got near two-thirds of the roads in the city that are in need of some sort of drastic repair. We've got a lot of work to do, and I think that if we can empower some of these boards to really step up and use some of the talent and experience expertise that we have on these boards, the more that we're going to be able to get done, and the sooner it's going to be able to get done, working on behalf of the residents and businesses that we have here. So,
are you on the Derek? Are you on the DDA?
Yeah, I'm on the DDA by virtue of my position as mayor. I've been to a couple of different meetings, and I kind of laid out my vision for what I believe that the DDA should operate, and not just being about events, doing events downtown and doing facade loans, but really taking advantage of, Public Act 197 and all the 17 different roles and responsibilities that it kind of lays out for DDAs and taking on some of those projects. So, we talked about the Vermeulens project last night and bringing in a kitchen incubator for people that want to grow their cottage industry food products from a cottage industry to actual commercial industry. Some of those things over there, we're going to be building out a lot of different spaces around town. And part of that means figuring out what we can do to incent new businesses to locate downtown or existing businesses to grow and scale. So talking about incubators, talking about business accelerators, doing what we can to really foster that, I guess, that culture of entrepreneurship in the city, and doing some other things, improving transportation, looking at where it makes sense to have bike share programs. There's some great grants out there from organizations like the AARP that I'd like to really go after. So I think there's a lot of great energy on the DDA, a lot of people that are really excited to step into that new sort of space and onto those into those new roles and responsibilities. And I'm really excited to be a part of the DDA and help be a part of that effort.
So we have a number of building projects, other projects downtown. Mm-hmm. They all seem to be moving forward.
Yeah, they're all moving forward. I know Burka, I thought, is, if not already, pretty close to being able to move people in. I know he's got a waiting list. The rest of the projects are moving forward. We haven't had to, didn't do any change orders last night. But, everything's moving forward. And really, a lot of that sort of work, we used to really not have an economic development operation in the city. When Patrick Birch came on, we really kind of changed course and invested in that. And we put money into working on economic development, doing those renderings and site plans and things like that to make these projects possible. And I think that's a prime example of some of the things that the DDA can help with. Maybe not entirely, but, certainly help facilitate and attract and recruit those sorts of businesses and those sorts of developments to spring up downtown. So we got a whole lot of space and also a whole lot of existing buildings that we just need to rehab and build out, take full advantage of the spaces that we currently have downtown as well.
Derek Joe Dobies. Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, Greg.
Have a good one.